The Phoenix Suns came away with a Valentine's Day win over the Sacramento Kings on Tuesday night, moving within one game of the three seed. But the biggest story of the night by far, Kevin Durant, courtside on the Suns bench, making an appearance in Phoenix for the first time. We'll break all of it down on today's episode of Locked On Suns.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past six seasons, a writer at Suns.com, and the host of the Just Basketball Show, wherever you get podcasts. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen here on this Wednesday. Maybe you're catching it on Tuesday night after this big win by the Suns, 120-109. Wherever you're finding the show, whether it is on your favorite podcast platform or, of course, YouTube, go ahead and hit follow or subscribe. If you are on YouTube, drop a comment below with any of your thoughts on the Suns and hit that bell as well. Get a notification when a new show goes live. You can also follow along at Locked On PHX Suns on Twitter, where every single game, post-game, we do the seven words or less game take. Maybe for some of you new Suns fans or recently renewed Suns fans, the seven words or less might be lost on you. I'm just kidding. You know what seven or less is. Of course, an ode to the great Steve Nash. We have at VV Rounder, Paul Yarger with Durant leads bench cheers as Suns win. Jeremiah Heredia with Is DA Taking the Leap? We have at Javon7405 making fun of the Kings with a good light the beam. So you can chime in with your takes on each game over at Locked On PHX Suns as well. We have a lot to get to today. It was a busy night in Footprint Center. I feel like I've said it was a busy day in Suns land for going on, I don't even know, 3 years, but especially the past couple of weeks. But tonight was a good kind of busy, so I want to spend some time on all the different components of it. Today's show, guys, brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Okay, so for all of you who might be new or maybe tuning in for the first time in a little while, we start with the game, the moment of the game for these recap shows. We'll get to our big takeaway of the game, and then we have some rapid fire, some fun, some lighthearted, some just very quick hit bits of analysis to close the show with the last segment. But when it comes to the moment of the game, there were two in this case. One was sort of big picture, and one was nitty gritty stuff on the court. We'll start with the big picture, which was Kevin Durant being welcomed by the Footprint Center crowd. Had a beanie on, which was, I mean, look, KD wears beanies all the time, but it was kind of cool because that has become one of the signature book outfit pieces, is that hoodie, KD with a nice jacket, a beanie, I think it was a hoodie actually, that he was wearing. Very casual, very Kevin Durant looking guy on that bench, and I can verify it was in fact Kevin Durant. Just to start there, doesn't quite feel real yet. I've been joking on Twitter that it could be, you know, AI has come a long way. We know there's deep fakes out there. I'm not convinced this isn't one of those. I'll have to believe it when I finally see him actually play basketball. Otherwise, I could just imagine it's some sort of robot. Who knows? It still feels a little surreal, but he was there. The Vince Murata, the PA announcer, and the, you know, camera on him, they made an announcement in about the third quarter. Then they announced that he was going to be formally introduced at the press conference on Thursday, and I don't think he quite heard it right. He just kind of heard his own name and whatever, and kind of waved to the camera again, and the arena went bonkers one more time. Just look, I mean, it's not a surprise. I'm not going to sit here and say that it's like some sort of unexpected thing that happened tonight, but you can just tell the energy that's behind this addition. And just to have it be in Phoenix for the first time, rather than just like a bunch of posts on social media or, you know, us Suns people texting each other or whatever way it might have been, talking about it at your Super Bowl party. I'm sure it was all of that, but you got to really feel it tonight. And I do think the players, even Monty admitted it, you know, like he's like, I think he was having trouble putting his finger on it. He said he didn't know the word to use. He didn't know how to describe it fully, but that there's just this energy that he can feel when you already had with Chris Paul a legend of the game that everybody had a heightened level of respect for. But Monty didn't say this part. I'll fill in for him. Obviously, it's different, especially this season with Chris dealing with injuries and being a little less consistent as a player. Whereas Kevin Durant comes in and it's just sort of like, that's a walking history. That's a living legend that is coming to your team, chose to, wanted to join your team, and is now elevating you to a no-brainer contender to win a championship. There just has to be a certain level of buzz that comes with that, and you could feel it from the fans. You could also feel it from the players. That's going to somewhat be what I talk about in this next segment in terms of how the Suns just took care of business, honestly. But the on-court moment of the game, setting aside the Durant welcome, is another very important factor in what's going to happen going forward. In addition to, obviously, Durant's arrival, we know there's going to be other changes in terms of the rotation, the play style. You've listened to the show the past couple of days. You know what my thoughts on some of those are. I would recommend the Tuesday show, guys, if you haven't listened or watched already. We really dove into the X's and O's. And a guy we circled back to a lot was Josh Okogie. Now, he started tonight's game, played the most minutes on this team in a very Mikal Bridges fashion as he does his best to fill the void left by Mikal, 39 minutes. But he played really well, and the moment that really jumps out is kind of just the whole middle of the fourth quarter, but really from about 10.5 minutes to about 5.5 minutes. Okogie guarded De'Aaron Fox quite a bit in this game, most of the night. But especially in that stretch, you really started to see the impact come through. Okogie didn't get any steals in this game, but that does not tell the story at all because Fox had 5 turnovers. One of those turnovers was an inbounds pass that he just threw away in a bad mistake. The other 4 were, Okogie with a reach around kind of swipe, and then somebody else ends up with it. A lot of that type of stuff. I believe Fox also had a charge in this stretch of the game. The Suns didn't exactly pull away. It wasn't like this big run necessarily. The Suns basically led this game from the jump. They were down it after the first quarter, but from that point on, they just were kind of up like between 5 and 10 points throughout. And this stretch was the same, but, you know, it says something to me that De'Aaron Fox, who had 35 points still in this game and was incredible in that first half, would not be able to cut it, right? When you're the Suns in that situation, you've kind of just had this small lead that you haven't been able to extend. You're not able to blow the team out like you might want to. And you have a killer, fourth quarter killer like De'Aaron Fox. I mean, he has a credible claim to being the best fourth quarter scorer in the NBA. I think he might be like second only to Kyrie Irving in terms of points in the fourth quarter, on points per game on the season, right? So this is really one of the best closers in the league. And Josh Okogie, who, you know, we have optimism about here in Phoenix. I'm sure you at home are excited about the opportunity in front of him. We've seen that he can play very good defense, and that's what he's hung his hat on as an NBA player, but it's also a different thing entirely to step into the starting lineup, play this much, and guard such a great player, an all-star this season. So again, a couple turnovers forced, 2 or 3 turnovers in the fourth quarter for Fox. I believe there was the one charge, and he just quieted down from a scoring standpoint as well. And so, you know, that's really it for me. You expect that the Kings are going to do something. This is a good team. And you expect, especially as you adjust to life without Mikal Bridges, that you're going to have to deal with some differences. Fox had 7 points in the fourth quarter, so 7 of his 35, only 1/5 of his total points coming in that fourth quarter. He was 3 of 5 from the field, did not get to the free throw line, and as I said, he did have those 3 turnovers. So he played almost the whole fourth quarter, and they were able to neutralize him in large part thanks to Josh Okogie stepping into this bigger role. We'll see if he can continue to build on that. We'll see if Monty does start him. He did indicate after the game when I asked, you know, what are you hoping to see from Okogie as the season goes along, as you adjust and account for the Durant factor through the stretch run of the season. And Monty did say, he did sort of tip his hand that Okogie could be a starter. He said it might differ game to game depending on what the matchup is between Okogie and Craig. So that's interesting. And I would imagine it's going to be matchups exactly like this, where it's Fox, it's Ja Morant, it's even Steph Curry. Teams where you still really do need someone to chase around a ball-handling guard. And Okogie continues to prove that he's up for that challenge. Let's talk big takeaways. Let's talk why this win was possible and frankly looked pretty easy at times for the Suns, despite Kevin Durant being in the building but actually not suiting up. This team is severely thinned out, and yet this was one of its most convincing wins of the season. We'll talk about why next. First, today's show, guys, brought to you once again by Prize Picks. Prize Picks came in. They knew Daily Fantasy. They knew people like you and me struggled with Daily Fantasy, didn't always love Daily Fantasy because of some of the problems with it, right? You're joining a pool, you're joining a league, you're playing head-to-head with somebody in some, you know, faraway land that is doing this, and you don't know if they're actually doing it for fun like you are or if they're trying to make a living off of it, and they're putting 75 million entries in, and you're just one of the schmucks who's losing to them. Prize Picks fix all of that. Literally none of those things are the problem, because you just pick 2 to 6 players, and then you say more or less than their Prize Picks player projection. You can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. Here's the bottom line. If you love basketball, which I'm sure you do if you're listening to this show, you look at the Wednesday slate in the NBA. You have Sixers, Cavs, you have Knicks, Hawks, you have Mavs Nuggets, which is a good game. Let's say Mavs. Let's go more on points for Kyrie Irving, and let's say more on assists for Luka Doncic as they continue to share the load over in Dallas. That's the kind of thing you do. You can mix sports. They have tons of sports, college basketball, tennis, disc golf, everything, and you just say more or less than the Prize Picks player projection. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. They offer safe and fast withdrawals, and they're currently operational in over 30 states, including Arizona, as well as Canada. Download the Prize Picks app now or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play this awesome daily fantasy sports game. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks matches that with $100 right to your account as well. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Okay, so we talked about the moment of the game. Let's talk about how the Suns actually came away with this W and what it tells us. Okay, so I think bottom line, the biggest thing I can say, the real conclusion that I come to is that this was an energy boost for the team. This was an emotional game in terms of coming back to your home court. You had a weird schedule where you're on this extended road trip during the trade deadline. These guys weren't able to prepare, right? There wasn't a lot of noise, just like you and I were surprised when the KD news came down that it actually finally really truly happened. I'm sure this team was not expecting that bomb to go off, right? And so they're on the road. They finally come home. They're at Footprint Center in front of their crowd. KD's suddenly sitting on the bench. What the heck is going on? The crowd is going crazy. I think all that stuff that I spoke about in terms of the introductory applause that he received, the welcome message and everything else, I don't think it was just that individual little welcome message that did it, but I think this clearly was, it lifted the team. It lifted the team's spirits, and you might think I'm just saying that from a positive standpoint, and obviously it's not really a negative, but I guess it kind of makes it hard to measure from this game, right? I talked about some of it, but let's get into more specifics. 32 points for Devin Booker, 13 of 20 from the field, 29 minutes. I don't really doubt that Booker can do that again, although it was a little bit of a different type of game from Book even, right? No three-point attempts, which is just unorthodox in general in the NBA today. I mean, we know Book is a killer in the mid-range and he can get to the basket, but look, he still usually takes at least one three. He didn't do that. He was really determined to get downhill, get to the basket. I think he had three dunks in this game. That's not normal, right? That's kind of like, hey, I feel good. We're back home. I'm recovering from this injury. Maybe I feel some type of way about not being an all-star in there as well, and I'm feeling good because Kevin Durant's on my team, right? That's a little bit of what I sensed there. I think you say the same for Okogie, who obviously sees an opportunity in front of himself to seize this starting role, to really cement himself. I mean, remember, with Okogie too, like, this is a player who didn't get retained by the team that drafted him. Not only did he not agree to an extension, which is one part after year three of your rookie contract, but after year four of his rookie contract, they didn't even take the restricted free agency opportunity. They just said, nope, we made our big Rudy Gobert trade, you're gone. He wasn't playing a ton, he wasn't a major role, it wasn't a huge surprise, but he's on a minimum contract in year five of his career. This is a guy fighting for his future, and so you can obviously sense that he came out with a little bit more intensity and energy than even his usual high level of energy. And finally, we get to DeAndre Ayton, who frankly was a monster, and I don't want to take anything away from that. I'm not trying to turn it into a negative, like I said, but 37 minutes for him is a lot of minutes. He was able to stay out of foul trouble, and he owned Domantas Sabonis. I mean, final stats, Sabonis did play better, especially, you know, in the second half. I even want to say the fourth quarter in particular. He finishes with 24, 15, and 7, but he was quiet in the first half. I can pull up the stats as I'm talking here. And Ayton was doing everything. Both ends of the floor. So Sabonis in the first half had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. So he had, I guess, basically an equivalent second half, but he was also 2 of 6 in that first half, so he was 5 of 6 in the second half overall. So it was on both ends. Ayton was simultaneously finishing against Sabonis, absorbing the contact that Sabonis was giving him. When Ayton was on offense as a scorer, taking advantage of the way that the Kings play defense, where they're going to use Sabonis' mobility, try to take the ball out of the ball handler's hands, which we've seen against teams like the Nuggets, but even teams like the Mavs with the more aggressive trapping. They're not doing that with Sabonis, but Ayton was catching the ball in those spots and making good decisions, and in most cases just finishing. I mean, he didn't even really have to get too creative with it tonight. He just went up and scored the ball. And then defensively, I think he was, you know, he just was able to get Sabonis out of sorts. I even want to throw in that he had 4 turnovers in this game, Sabonis as well. Look, 38 minutes, 24, 15, and 7. Like, you're talking about an all-star player. If you give him 38 minutes, he's going to produce. But Ayton was really solid. And so, again, it's like, do you presume that Ayton and Okogie and Booker are going to do this on a nightly basis now? Or do you start to wonder, okay, not that this is an outlier fully, but, you know, they wanted to get up for this game. It's somebody they're chasing in the standings, and they had a big moment with Durant making an appearance. I think it could go either way. I do think, just from what everybody was being so open with about how much of a boost it gave them, I wouldn't be surprised if Thursday night, for instance, against the Clippers, I wouldn't expect we're going to see such a dominant performance again. It's just, we've seen this team, right? We've seen even the best version of this team has not been this good over and over and over. They've been up and down, and they're thinner right now, especially while they wait for Durant to return with this one last game before the break. So that's all I'll say. I do want to also put it out there, though, that when you're talking about, is it going to continue, is it not going to continue, what's the real thing, I think the other part of it that's just hard is like, we don't know what the rotation will look like. And so even if you did tell me all these guys were going to play at a similar level, you know, I don't know how many minutes. You're not talking about 69, well, actually 89 combined minutes if you throw in what Ish Wainwright played his 20 minutes tonight. You're not talking about 89 points or minutes for Craig Okogie and Wainwright once Durant gets back, right? You're probably talking about Durant playing 30 to 35, and then you fill in the gaps from there, right? So that complicates things. You know, you're also assuming there's going to be some small ball moments, maybe with Durant at the five. Ayton's not going to play 37 minutes again. You know, I think you're probably looking at more like 34 for Ayton, 32, and then Landale, and then some Durant at the five. Like, it's just hard to look at this and feel anything other than this team is invigorated, they're hitting the ground running, they know what the task at hand is, and they got a game on a team that they're chasing in the standings. Like, those are all positives. Again, I'm not trying to turn it into a negative. I'm just trying to draw the obvious attention to the fact that, like, we're in this weird limbo still with this team. And so in this case, the limbo went in the very positive direction, and they seized the moment. We'll see if they do that, you know, on Thursday. We'll see, you know, for instance, like, they'll have a home game after the All-Star break, when we all assume Durant will make his debut against the Oklahoma City Thunder on Friday the 24th. Well, 2 days later, like 36 hours later, they turn around and they have to play the Bucks at 11 a.m. local time in a big, big, big nationally televised game where all attention will be on Durant, Giannis, that rematch of the 2021 finals with this big new addition. How did the Suns play that game? You could imagine a letdown there, right? So that's kind of where my head is at. This one was a very positive one and a very much needed win, but we'll see. Not everything that we saw tonight is going to be able to carry over against other teams and again and in other situations. Let's go rapid fire through some other little tidbits from this game, including another addition to the Michael Porter Jr. on your honorary Pigeon of the Game. First today's show, guys, brought to you by Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want a ton of fat or calories in that diet, you got to try a Built Bar. We're making our way through 2023 slowly but surely, and maybe it's the new year. Maybe it's just you generally like healthier treats. Whatever your reasoning is, Built helps you do that. They're healthy while actually being tasty, and they're so delicious you won't even think that they're actually as good for you as they are, but of course, look, they are. What makes them so good is they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. That's checkbox number one. Second is they come in delicious flavors. Churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. They also have fruity flavors, strawberry, cherry, orange, whatever you love. And they keep great macros as well. So you're not really going to ever cross 150 calories with a Built Bar. You're rarely going to cross 5 grams of sugar, but you're always going to get that 15 to 20 grams of protein that you're looking for. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. You don't need to go to Built.com and wait for that order to come in the mail, because they're at our local Walmart and Sam's Club stores now as well. A 4-bar box at Walmart, a 13-bar jumbo box at Sam's Club. Look, we live in a big city. There's no shortage of either one of those stores. You can wander in, check out Built Bar there, or of course go to Built.com. Try it for yourself. 4-bar box, 13-bar box, or Built.com. Closing out the show with a few of our recap segments here, as we always do. The new addition to the Michael Porter Jr. honorary Pigeon of the Game is Domantas Sabonis. The Suns were making no... They were not hiding at all that they were going at Sabonis, right? Not exactly a new philosophy, but... To kind of circle back to the conversation we were having a second ago in terms of the what do you really take away from this game and how do you measure what they do right now or even what they've done in the past versus what they will look like with Durant, I do feel like this game showed us that, hey, this basic, the bones of this pick and roll attack, even without a Cam Johnson or a Mikal Bridges still there, is pretty lethal. and against a weak defender at the five spot, a weak rim defender, let me say that, not an athletic guy to match Ayton like Sabonis, they're going to be able to take advantage, and Ayton did, right? So, yes, he was the pigeon, not exactly the first team to go after Sabonis defensively, right? But they made him pay, and they won the game. Let's also go to the a box score oddity from tonight. I haven't done that one in a while because, look, for a while there, every single Suns game had box score oddities, which was almost the entirety of the freaking box score because they were in so many injury-riddled games. But tonight, it's points in the paint. So I actually wouldn't even say it evened out by the end of the game. 109 points for Sacramento tonight. Only 40 points in the paint. So they were really hot early from the three-point line. And they got to the free throw line quite a bit. And that ultimately was like the story of the game in a lot of ways. Because you look at the other side and the Suns did get into the paint, which is kind of rare for them. More than half of their points came in the paint. 62 points for them. And the Kings were almost just about half of their shots in the paint, which is not very good, obviously. You look at a guy like Trey Lyles was 1 of 7. Even Fox, you know, only 12 of 22. He's had some more efficient nights, you know, from two-point range. He was 8 of 15, so just about 50%. Not all of those in the paint, obviously. And it just added up for them in a really bad way. Couple that with 17 turnovers, and you start to understand how a super-powered offense, one of the better offenses in the NBA, fell off and wasn't able to get the job done. But just that points in the paint thing was just very, very bizarre. There was, I think after the first half, they only had like, you know, between 10 and 20 points in the paint. Let me see here. First half, they were... This is lovely, lovely podcasting where I just say and ah. 12 points in the paint in the first half for the Kings out of their 58 points compared to 34 for the Suns. In the paint in the first half, Sacramento was 6 of 18 shooting. So very much a tale of two halves for the Kings in terms of efficiency, although they did score more total points in the first half, so I guess I just look at all of that and say the Kings were very much off kilter. Talked about Sabonis having an off game. Sabonis and Fox combined for 9 total turnovers, and they just never really got their groove. Meanwhile, the Suns were making everything in sight. 57% from the field overall for them. I already talked about their points in the paint. They didn't even need the three-point line at all, and they kept their turnovers pretty low with just 13 turnovers compared to 33 assists for them. So a very strong night overall, and a very big disparity in that one category. I think that'll do it for today's show, guys. That was it that I really had, the going after Sabonis and then the real disparity in the points in the paint. I'm sure there will be some Kevin Durant related recap segments that I will build into the mix, so do not worry about that whatsoever. We will do bench mob vibe checks as the rotation gets clearer. That's one I like to go to, but right now, look, it's just hard to... We didn't see Darius Bazley would be the one observation there, but it's just really hard to necessarily make a bunch of takeaways from what the rotation's going to be when you're missing the best player on the team, basically, in Kevin Durant. So I don't want to dive too deep there, but I promise you, as soon as next Friday, when he's back, we will be closely watching what this rotation is, how they use the pieces that each player presents, and all of that. But that'll do it for today's show. A big thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen here after this 121-109 victory over the Sacramento Kings. No show tomorrow. I'm celebrating Valentine's Day with my wife. Appreciate your patience. We'll be back to close out the week on Friday with a recap of the Clippers game, as well as, because this never-ending, busy, crazy insanity around this team, we'll be continuing that day with an introductory press conference for Kevin Durant. I'll give you my thoughts on that on Thursday as well. So busy show that day to close out the week going into Friday. and then back to normal programming next week. Although it will be the All-Star break, we'll have plenty to talk about as we get ready for Kevin Durant's debut. So do not go anywhere. Hit follow or subscribe wherever you're finding this show, including YouTube. And in the meantime, go make Locked On NBA your second listen here on this Friday to get caught up on everything going on around the league. That show is also available on all podcast platforms, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.